讲课。
Lord, we are thankful that we can get together tonight.
主，我们很感恩我们今天能够聚在一起。
And we're most thankful for our Lord Jesus Christ, who saved us and then brought us together as members of His body.
主，我们最感谢的是主耶稣基督，他不仅救了我们，而且使我们互为肢体，成为一个身体。
And that is a wonderful thing. We're thankful that we're not here this evening as individuals, but we are here collectively as the body of Jesus Christ.
这真是一件美好的事情。我们今天晚上不是一个一个人在这里，而是我们一起作为基督的身体是联合起来一起在这里的。
And Lord, we're especially thankful that our blessed Savior is the head of the body. He's the head of the church.
我们更感恩的是我们的主耶稣基督，他是教会的主，他是教会的元首。
And so we would each submit ourselves to him this evening as head, and we would pray that he, by the power of the Holy Spirit, will teach us those things we need to know as we as a church would be part of his body.
我们今天就愿意顺服在我们这教会的头，就是耶稣基督的权柄之下，学习关于如何成为基督的身体这方面的真理。
So Lord, we're just looking to you for blessing tonight. Teach us, we would pray, and cause us to be believing and obedient to what it is you teach.
主，我们祈求您今天能够让我们顺服您所教导我们的真理，让我们相信能够顺服你教给我们的真理。
And we give thanks now in Jesus' name.
我们这样的感恩是奉耶稣的名。
Amen.
Amen.
Well, give everyone a welcome tonight, in the name of the Lord Jesus.
我奉主的名啊，欢迎今天所有来参加的弟兄姐妹们。
We finished a study on things to come, the Bible prophecy.
我们已经结束了就是圣经预言这个系列啊。
And part of that study, we found that the church was different from Israel. It was something new.
我们在学习的过程中呢，也学到了就是教会呢和以色列是不一样的，它是一个新的事物。
We don't find the church in the Old Testament, and it is a New Testament revelation.
我们在旧约里面没有看到教会这个概念，它是一个新约的启示。
But the church is very important to God.
但是教会对神而言是非常重要的。
The theme of our studies, if we have one verse which is a theme for our studies, it would be Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25.
如果用一句经文来作为我们这个系列的主题的概括的话呢，那就是以弗所书的五章二十五节。
And the last part of that verse,reads this, Christ loved the church and gave himself for it.
这句经文的后半段说，正如基督爱教会，为教会舍己。
Now, if he loved the church, if Christ loved the church, we should love the church as well.
Amen. 如果基督都爱教会，那我们也应该爱教会。
And there's a sense in which we should give ourselves for the church as well.
所以在这个意义上说呢，我们应该把自己献给教会。
As we study the church and its various functions and the distinctions, we're going to look at many aspects of the church.
所以我们会在这个系列里会涉及到教会的很多方面，它的功能啊，它中间很多概念的区别啊等等。
But the main theme is going to be that the churchmight prosper and triumph in the world.
但是其中一个重要的主题就是教会应该在这个世界里面得胜而且要繁荣。
And each of us will have a gift that will help the church in this world to be a testimony for our Lord Jesus.
我们每个人呢都有从神来的至少一种恩赐，能够帮助教会能够在这世上为主耶稣基督做更好的见证。
So the object of this next course of studies on the church is to examine some of the more important principles of the New Testament governing the character and the conduct of the church.
所以我们接下去要讲的呢就是按照新约的教导呢这个教会是该如何的发挥它的功能，该如何的行为，如何的治理，这些基本的原则。
And our study will, be in two parts as we move along.
我们的学习呢随着我们的进展我们要分成两个部分。
The first part is that we want to review these unchanging truths concerning the church and then, the church universal, that is,And then also to show how each local assembly is responsible to witness to these truths in their life and in their practice.
一个呢就是关于普世教会的一些普遍真理，就是在各历史历代都不改变的这普遍的真理。另外呢一部分呢就是关于地方教会如何在他们所处的这个具体的环境中呢如何去运用这些原则。
Truth without practice is no good.
没有实践不实践出来的真理呢是没有用处的。
We can be correct in the position that we take on the church. But then that must never be separated from what we practice.
而我们可以在教会所处的地位上很明白。但是呢如果我们离开了操作离开了具体的实践就没有什么意义了。
A church not only must have correct doctrine, but it must have correct practice.
所以教会不仅要有正确的教义也要有正确的实践。
That is the spiritual condition of the church is important. It's equally important.
所以就是属灵的状况啊。就是教会的属灵的条件状况也是和教义同等重要的。
And you'll notice that in the epistles, as you read the letters of the apostles, they first of all usually bring the truth of doctrine, and then they spend the rest of their epistle or their letter to the practice of that doctrine.
我们看新约里面这些使徒所写的这个书信啊就看到一个明显的结构前面呢一般都是在阐述教义然后后面呢都是在讲实践当中的一些教导一些原则。
There's no good in knowing something without doing it.
如果你知道什么道理但是你不照着去做呢是没有什么益处的。
So we're going to, throughout our studies, we're going to emphasize these two lines, you might say, the doctrine and practice.
所以在我们接下去的学习中呢我们就是沿着这两条主线展开的一条呢就是教义就是真理另一条呢就是实践。
So now let's think about the church universal.
我们先来看这个普世教会。
That is, in the New Testament, the word church is a translation of the Greek word ecclesia.
这个教会呢是从这个希腊原文 ecclesia 这个词翻译过来的。
This means simply, a company of people that have been called out of a larger group.
这个词呢一个简单的含义就是把一群人从一小群人从一大群人当中呼召出来。
It has the meaning of a gathering of people or an assembly of people.
它有就是一群人聚集在一起这个意思。
And so, when the Lord speaks of the church, he speaks there of a company of people that have been called out of this world to himself.
当主耶稣基督讲到教会的时候呢，他是指从这世界里面被呼召被分别出来归他的一群人。
Now, sometimes the word is used of, not in a different way, but it was used of Israel in the wilderness. Stephen, when he was, in Acts chapter 7, verse 38.
Acts chapter 7, verse 38. 有另外一个用法，就是在使徒行传的七章三十八节。
Acts chapter 7, verse 38. Stephen uses that word to describe Israel in the wilderness.
斯提凡呢，在这里呢，他把它用在了这个词呢，就用在了在旷野里的以色列人身上。
And he says, this is he who was in the congregation in the wilderness with the angel who spoke to him on Mount Sinai, and so on.
他说这人曾在旷野会中和西乃山上与那对他说话的天使同在，就是这个会中，就是这个跟教会是一个意思的词。
Some translations use the word church, but it could mean a congregation which applied to Israel. They were a called out people from Egypt.
那有的版本也把它翻译成教会啊，但实际上的意思呢，就是一个集会，就是这在这里呢用在以色列人身上，因为这是神在旧约的时代从这世界里面呼召分别出来的一群人。
It's also used in the book of Acts to describe a heathen mob at Ephesus.
在《使徒行传》也这个词呢，也用在以弗所书的一群暴徒，他们聚在一起，也用的是这个词。
That was a group of unbelievers that were called out of the general population.
他们是一群不信的人，是从普罗大众当中被聚集在一起，被呼他不能叫呼召，就是为了某一个目的，他们聚在一起的这么一群人。
But the most common use of that word in the New Testament is used to describe a group of believers in the Lord Jesus Christ.
但在新约这个词呢，更广泛的用途呢，是指一群呼召出来归主耶稣基督的信徒，基督徒。
And the Lord Jesus himself gave a definition of that body of believers in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18.
主耶稣呢，在马太福音的十六章十八节呢，对教会这个概念，他给出了定义。马太福音十六章十八节
，Where he says, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church."
主耶稣说，我还告诉你，你是彼得，我要把我的教会建造在这磐石上。
So the Lord Jesus defines the New Testament use of the word for us as my church.
所以主耶稣在新约里面呢，他就把这个词的用法限定在就是我的教会。
And so when we read our theme that Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, he specifically means that group of believers in this present age who have come to faith in the Lord Jesus.
所以当我们讲到我们这个系列的主题啊，就是基督爱教会，并为教会舍己这个主题的时候，当讲到教会的时候，主耶稣基督的意思呢，就是指从这世界里面因着信他归他的呼召出来的一群人。
And then in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28.
你再看《使徒行传》的二十章的二十八节。
Where Paul speaks here to the Ephesian elders.
这里面保罗在对以弗所教会的长老说话。
Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among whom the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God which He purchased with his own blood.
圣灵令你们做全群的监督，你们就当为自己谨慎，也为全群谨慎，牧养神的教会，就是他用自己血所买来的。
And so that this is a specific group of people. The universal church are identified as believers in all time and all places that, that trust, have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation.
这里面的这个神的教会呢，就是指普世教会，是包括在历史历代，世界各地信靠耶稣基督的信徒。
And they've been born again from above and added to the body of Christ.
他们是从上面而重生的，加到基督的身体里面去的。
Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and verse 32, if you turn
在哥林多前书的十章的三十二节，哥林多前书十章二三十二节。
Corinthians 10 and verse 32. Paul divides the whole world into three groups.
在这里保罗把整个世人呢都分就分成三群。
Give no offense, he says, either to the Jew or to the Greek or to the church of God.
他说不拘是犹太人是希腊人是神的教会你们都不要使他跌倒。
There he's referring to the Greeks. He's referring actually to all Gentiles. He's speaking there. The Jew, the Gentile, and the Church of God.
这里面的希腊人呢，就是指所有的外邦人。所以这三群人呢，就是犹太人、外邦人和神的教会。
And so the church then is a group of Christians of both Gentile and Jew gathered into one body.
神的教会呢是由犹太人一部分犹太人一部分外邦人他们都是基督徒组成的神基督的身体。
So now, it's often been said that the church is not an organization, but a living organism.
所以有人说是这么说的就是教会呢它不是一个组织而是一个活体活着的身体。
By this, what is meant is that it's not a lifeless institution, like a club, or an army unit, or a government, but instead it's a living unit.
或者换句话说呢，就它不是一个无生命的机构，比如说像政府的一个部门呐，或者部队的一个队伍啊，或者一个俱乐部啊，而且它是一个活着的有机体。
It's a living unit because we all share the life of Christ.
因为它是一个活的身体，是因为我们共同分享基督的生命。
And we're linked, we're all vitally linked together in living union with by the Holy Spirit.
我们是被圣灵啊所连接的彼此连接的一个活的一个联系。
So now we're going to look at some descriptions, that have been given to the church in the New Testament.
我们接下来看呢新约给教会的一些描述是怎么描述教会。
And we're going to search through the scriptures and we're going to look at we're going to look at 10 different descriptive titles that have been given to the church.
我们通过查考经文呢，我们可以发现这里有十个对教会的描述。
And each descriptive title has a special significance.
他们每一个呢都有自己的特殊的意义。
To describe the church, it's almost beyond description, and we need at least these 10 most important ones to get some idea of what the church really is.
其实呢真正能把教会表达出来是超越人的语言的，但是至少呢我们可以从这十个描述当中呢明白，就是用我们能够理解的去明白教会大概是一个什么样子。
The first descriptive name that is given is a flock.
嗯，那第一个给教会的名字呢，就是羊群。
Turn to John chapter 10 and verse 16.
我们翻到约翰福音的十章十六节。
John chapter 10 and verse 16 reads, And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd.
我另外有羊，不是这圈里的，我必须领他们来，他们也要听我的声音，并且要合成一群，归一个牧人了。
He talks here about a fold and a flock.
嗯，这里面他讲到了这个一圈羊，也讲到了一群羊。
Now a sheepfold is as an enclosed place where the sheep are brought into an enclosed place that is fenced around from outside.
嗯，那这个一圈羊呢，是指是指好多羊，它是被圈在那个篱笆围成的一个羊圈里面，是封闭的，它们待在这个封闭的羊圈里面。
And that fold was the Jewish nation.
嗯，这一圈羊呢，就是指以色列民族。
The Lord had called them out of Egypt, and He made them a special nation.And they were to be separated from all the other nations.
神是把他们把以色列这个民族呢从埃及呼召出来，让他们成为一个特殊的民族，和其他的世界众民都不一样。
And there were many believers in the nation of Israel.
在以色列民族当中呢，有很多的信主的人。
And they were part of the real fold of God.
他们呢是真正属神的这个群羊里面的一部分。
When the Lord Jesus came, there were many believers that believed on him.
当主耶稣基督来到地上的时候呢，他们其中的有很多人就是信了耶稣基督了。
Remember, he came to his own nation, and he preached the gospel of the kingdom.And there were men like Zacharias and Elizabeth. There was Simeon and Anna. There was John the Baptist and John and Peter and Andrew and all his disciples. They believed them. They were part of the fold of Israel.
所以我们都知道当主来到属他的民啊就是以色列他自己的人当中的时候呢有很多人都相信他了比如说撒加利亚伊丽莎白施洗约翰还有这个在圣殿里面的亚拿和西面还有约翰彼得等等他所有的门徒们。
So when the Lord Jesus refers there in verse 16 to other sheep I have which are not of this fold, he's referring to the Gentiles who would later believe after he died and rose again.
所以16节里面他提到另外有羊啊不是这圈里的是指外邦人的信徒就是在主耶稣基督死了复活以后相信他的外邦人。
And so there will be believers that would come out of Israel and believers that would believe of the Gentiles and he would make one flock.
所以既有从以色列出来的信徒也有从外邦人出来的信徒主耶稣把他们都合成他的羊群。
It would no longer be a fold.In the sense of being separated entirely from the world, it would be in the world, the flock.
这个新的一群羊呢，它就不再是被圈在圈里了，完全与世界隔绝的，而是没有这个外面的这个约束了，就是不是完全与世界隔离的。
Now the idea of a flock brings before our minds a group of Christians.Living together under the loving, tender care of the good shepherd.
我们说到羊群这个词呢，我们脑子里就会想到一群基督徒啊，是在我们的大牧人主耶稣基督的呵护和看顾之下的这样一群人。
They hear his voice and they follow him.
他们听着牧羊人的声音，也跟随他。
And they won't follow a false shepherd. These are true believers who follow the Lord Jesus.
这些真信徒呢，他们是不会跟从一个假，不会跟从假牧羊人的，他们只会跟着主耶稣基督。
And so we are like the flock in the sense that he, like a good shepherd, his tender care is over us day and night.
所以我们是这样一群羊啊，是在这个我们的好牧人的日夜的看顾守候之守护之下的。
Now, the second descriptive title that we have is that we're like a field.
第二个来比喻教会的这个名称啊，就是田地。
Now, some of these titles may seem a little strange at first.
有些这个教会的这个比喻的名号啊，你乍听有一点奇怪的。
But these are just pictures that God has given to us that illustrate what the church is from God's point of view, from man's point of view, and from our point of view.
但是呢，这些比喻啊，或者是图画哈、啊，都是为了让我们能够去理解在神的眼中啊，教会是什么样子的？在世人眼中，教会又是什么样子？在我们自己眼中，教会又是什么样子的
？So, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9.
我们翻到哥林多前书的三章第九节。
And in verse 5, we'll read from verse 5.
我们从第五节开始读。
Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither he who plants is anything, nor is he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now, he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor.For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field.
我们从五节开始读，亚波罗算什么，保罗算什么，无非是执事，照主所赐给他们个人的，引导你们相信。我栽种了，亚波罗浇灌了，唯有神叫他生长。可见栽种的算不得什么，浇灌的也算不得什么，只有那叫他生长的神。栽种的和浇灌的都是一样，但将来个人要照自己的功夫得自己的赏赐，因为我们是与神同工的，你们是神所耕种的田地。
So here's the picture of a garden, which a gardener wants to raise fruit for himself.
所以这里你看他描述的就是一块田地啊，里面的有一个这个田地的主人呢，他在里面想要种植一些植物。
And the apostles and those gifted men, they were men who preached the word. The seed of the word went into that good ground, and it began to bring forth fruit.
然后像保罗这样有恩赐的神的仆人啊，他们就传讲了神的道，就像把种子种在这片好土里一样，然后他们就开始这些种子就开始发芽生根，就开始长大了。
The workers, they can't make it grow. They can't make any fruit come out of the ground or vegetables or anything good. But only God can bring life from life.
但是这些工人本身他并不能够让这些植物生长结出果实来，只有那赐生命的神才能够给他们生命。
And so that the fact that the church is like a field, we are to bring forth fruit to the glory of God.
那既然把教会比喻成田地呢，那我们就应该为了神的荣耀啊，向神结出我们的果实来。
And you remember the Lord Jesus used the figure of the vine, the good vine. I'm the good vine, and fruit was produced from that vine to the glory of God.
还记得主耶稣基督主耶稣自己比喻呢，他是那真葡萄树，然后只有连在那真葡萄树上的才能够结出这葡萄来，结出果子来，能够荣耀神的名。
And again, Paul writing in Galatians talks about the fruit of the Spirit.
然后保罗也在加拉太书里面讲到了圣灵的果子。
So in a sense, we're working in God's garden.
所以在这个意义上来说呢，我们是在神的田地里工作的。
When you exercise your gifts to your brothers and sisters, you are helping God produce fruit.
所以当你把你的恩赐用在你的弟兄姐妹身上的时候，其实你是在帮助神来结果子。
Some plant and some water and some pull weeds.
所以就像有人浇灌有人栽种，有人浇灌，有些人拔野草等等。
And so each of us, we're busy in God's garden and we are in God's garden ourselves.
所以我们每个人都在神的田地里面忙碌啊，其实神的田地就是我们自己的。
Now, another picture is that we are God's building.
另外一个比喻呢，就是我们是神的房屋。
God is in the construction business.
神呢，他是在建筑行业里面工作的。
In that same verse, Paul switches, he switches similes or metaphors there, and he says after in verse 9, chapter 1 Corinthians 3, 9, he says, you are God's building.
所以我们在这个同一句经文啊，就是哥林多前书的三章九节啊，他前面用的比喻是田地，后面他就说你们也是神所建造的房屋。
And this expression pictures God as carrying on a building program.
所以这个比喻呢，就描述的就是神正在在做一个建造的项目。
And if you turn to 1 Peter.And chapter 5, please.
我们可以翻到彼得前书的五章。
First Peter chapter 2, verse 5, sorry.
不是五章，是二章五节。
He says, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house.A holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ.
你们来到主面前，也就像活石被建造成为灵宫，做圣洁的祭司，借着耶稣基督奉献神所悦纳的灵祭。
And then if you go, so there, if we go back to, First Corinthians, please, our chapter 3, verse 9.
我们再翻回到哥林多前书的三章九节。
We'll read in verse 10.
我们读第十节。
According to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it, but let each one take heed how he builds on it.
我照神所给我的恩，好像一个聪明的工头立好了根基，有别人在上面建造，只是个人要谨慎怎样在上面建造。
Now the New Testament prophets and apostles, they laid the foundation of truth. And we have that written down for us, recorded in the New Testament letters, epistles.
这里面所说的立好的根基，就是指新约的使徒和先知啊，他们建立了神真理的根基，就是体现在这些使徒的书信里面的。
So the scriptures that were given by the apostles, they are the foundation upon which we build.
所以这个保罗啊，就说他是立好了根基，然后在上面有别人在上面建造。
Now, that's why the study of the scriptures on what the church is so important because we don't want to build on another foundation.
这就是为什么我们要从圣经里面去查考教会到底是什么如此的重要，因为我们不想在别的根基上建造。
So much of what we see in Christendom today around the world is built upon man's ideas.
我们今天在世界上看的很多基督教领域里面的很多都是在人的思想人的想法上建造的。
And we want to build on God's foundation that was laid by the apostles.
我们是想在神的根基上建造，这个根基呢是使徒立好了的。
And that's why it's so important that we return to the scriptures if we want to find out how the church ought to be, how it ought to operate, how it ought to witness everything about the church, we must look to the scriptures for our foundation.
所以呢当我们一旦要去弄明白教会是如何运作的它应该如何做见证等等一切关于教会的东西呢我们都要回到圣经里面去去回到我们的根基上去。
So first of all, we want to make sure that we are building.
首先呢我们要确保我们的确是在建造。
We don't want to be tearing down God's work.
而不是在拆毁神的工作而是在建造神的工作。
Instead, we want to be working on building on the foundation that we have in the scriptures.
所以我们希望我们是在圣经里面所立好的这个根基上面去建造的。
And secondly, we want to make sure, as the apostle said, but let each one take heed how he builds on it.
另外呢就是我们要像十节里面保罗说的只是个人要谨慎怎样在上面建造。
Are we using materials that will stand the test of the judgment seat of Christ?
我们是不是用能够在这个基督台前的审判之后能够经受得住检验的这种建筑材料在建造呢
?Are we building for the Lord's glory or for our own glory?
我们是为了神的荣耀在主的荣耀在建造呢还是为了自己的荣耀在建造
?So, it's important that our lives should be devoted to the construction project in which God is so interested in doing, in completing.
所以我们要把我们一生的兴趣点都放在建造神的这个建筑工程上因为神对此如此的看重。
So now the fourth picture that we have of the church is described as a temple, the temple of God, in verse 16 of that same chapter.
我们第四个用来比喻教会的呢就是教会是神的殿也是同一个经文啊是16节同一章哥林多前书的三章十六节。
In verse 16, Paul writes, Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?
岂不知你们是神的殿神的灵住在你们里头吗
And then, so, the temple of God is a picture here of, the thought is of worship.
这里面把教会比喻成神的殿呢他想表达的意思呢就是是用来敬拜的地方。
And again, I'll refer to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5.
我们再回到哥林多彼得前书的二章五节我们刚才读过的那节经文。
You also, he says, again, are living stones, being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ.
你们来到主面前也就像活石被建造成为灵宫做圣洁的祭司借着基督耶稣基督奉献神所悦纳的灵祭。
When we think of the temple, we think of Solomon's temple and the building of that temple.
当我们想到这个圣殿的时候我们就会想到所罗门他建造的那个圣殿。
And those, the stones for that temple, they were all quarried and measured and cut, and they were transported to that temple, construction site, and they were put in place There was not a sound of a tool. They were quietly placed each one in the place that was designed by the architect.
所以所罗门在建造圣殿的时候呢，他的用的每一块石头啊，都是在采石场那里测量好、切割好，然后把它运到这个建筑，就是圣殿所在之处，然后没有听到一点就是金属的工具碰撞的声音，把它每一块石头按照那设计者所指定的位置把它放上去，一起建造起来的。
Now those stones that were used to construct Solomon's temple, they weren't living stones.
嗯，但是所罗门建造圣殿的时候用的那个石头，它可不是活石。
But we have been cut out, as it were, out of the world, and we have been given life, and we're now joined together by the Holy Spirit.
嗯，那我们呢？作为活石，我们是从这世界里被切割下来的，然后被神赋予了生命，然后用来建造这个活着的灵宫的。
But then in 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 5, he says, not only are we the temple there, but we are the priesthood, a holy priesthood.
嗯，在这个彼得前书的二章五节里面说的，我们不仅是这个灵宫啊，就是圣殿，我们还是祭司，圣洁的祭司。
And so as some during the time of worship, they act as priests in the temple, and they are surrounded by living stones.
嗯，所以当我们敬拜的时候呢，我们就像这个祭司一样，在这个灵宫里面，周围都是由这个活石来围绕的。
Now, the temple of Solomon was only a pattern of the heavenly things of which the church now has entered into the reality. Into heaven itself.
所罗门那个圣殿呢，只是天上的那个实体的一个影子。现在我们基督徒呢，是真的进到了这个天上的这个圣殿当中，进到了这个实体当中。
But the most wonderful thing about this is that we have a great high priest.
然后这一切里面最重要的，或者是最美好的，就是我们有一个大祭司。
And so even though our worship and our praise, it may be very weak and imperfect, they are made acceptable to God through our great high priest.
嗯，所以即使我们的祷告呢是很软弱的，是很无力的，很有缺陷的，但是呢，因为通过了我们的那个伟大的大祭司，所以他也是会被神所悦纳的。
And so the last part of that verse 5 says that we offer up spiritual sacrifices, they are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ.
嗯，这就是彼得前书的那个二章五节最后一句话，他说借着耶稣基督奉献神所悦纳的灵祭。
And the only worship that God gets today is through the church.
所以今天神所得着的所有的这个敬拜啊，都是从教会而来的。
And we think of it's a great privilege because we each are every one of us is a priest, the priesthood of all believers.
所以我们把这个看成我们一个极大的荣幸啊，因为我们每个人都是祭司。
We'll be speaking more about that at a future day.
嗯，我们会在以后的学习中呢继续讲这一点。
Now the fifth picture that we have is that of the church. The description of the church is that it's the body of Christ. We're all familiar with that one.
嗯，第五个呢，用来比喻教会的这个图像呢，就是基督的身体。我们对这一点呢都很熟悉了。
Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23.
我们翻到以弗所书的一章二十二到二十三节。
And he, that is God the Father, put all things under his feet and gave him, that is Jesus, to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all.
22节这里面的主语是神呢，就是神又将万有伏在他的脚下，使他就是耶稣基督为教会做万有之首，教会是他的身体，是那充满万有者所充满的。
And again, turn to Colossians chapter 1.
我们再看哥罗西书的一章。
And verse 18.
十八节。
And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence.
他也是教会全体之首，他是原始，是从死里首先复生的，使他可以在凡事上居首位。
So, the body, it's the vehicle, we might say,or the means by which a person is able to express themselves.
所以身体呢，我们可以把它理解成是一个人呢用来表达他自己这么一个载体。
Now the Lord Jesus as head is in heaven today.
主耶稣基督呢作为这身体的头啊，他现在在天上。
But his body is on earth.
他的身体呢现在却在地上。
And that's how Jesus expresses himself in the world today on earth, is through the body.
所以主耶稣基督呢，就今天呢，就是借着他的身体向这个世界来表达他自己的。
So if we think that the very body of the risen Lord is the church on earth, we would never think of the church as being insignificant again.
如果我们想到教会啊是我们这复活的主的身体的时候呢，我们就一定不会小看这个教会的意义啊。
Now when we studied last fall, we studied the person and work of the Holy Spirit. We looked at the various functions of the body, the gifts that were given.
我们在从去年开始秋天开始学习的这个圣灵的位格和工作这个主题的时候呢，我们就也学习过，就是这身体啊借着不同的恩赐啊所表现出来不同的功能。
Now we think again of the church being the body of Christ. The body always is in obedience and serves the will of the head.The head governs the body.
那既然教会是基督的身体啊，那身体呢就一定会服从头的指令的，所以教会也是要服从基督的。
And so when we think of our head in heaven, we'll be looking at headship later on in our studies and the importance of that to the church.
那我们将来呢也会特别的去学习这个，既然基督是我们的头啊，我们要学习这个教会的权柄制度，这个非常重要。
Yeah, so the body has various functions, but they're all controlled by the head.
教会呢有很多的功能，不同的功能，但是呢都是被头所控制的。
There can be no independent parts of the body.
身体上是不可以有这种独立不听指挥的部分的。
And when we think of all the different groups and denominations and divisions within Christendom, it's a very sad thing.
所以当我们去想到这个我们这个基督教界里面有很多的纷争，很多的宗派，很多的分裂啊，我们一想到这个真的是会很忧伤的。
But God has made a unity.
但是神是使我们合一的。
And all true believers in all those different denominations and so on, we ought to recognize them and love them as our brothers and sisters and care for them as we would care for ourselves.
所以我们对那些在不同宗派里面的真正的信徒啊，我们要爱他们，把他们做当成我们的自己的主里的弟兄姐妹对待，我们如何爱自己也要如何爱他们。
And so remember our theme, Christ loved the church and gave himself for it.
要记得我们这个学习的这个系列的主旨啊，就是基督爱教会，为教会舍己。
So we ought to love and serve every other part of the body of Christ in obedience to our loving head.
所以我们也要顺服我们在天上可爱的头啊，来爱我们这个教会这个身体里的每一个组成部分。
Now, number six. The church is described as a new man. That's another strange description.
第六个啊，就描述教会的一个名称呢，是新人。这个听起来也有点奇怪的。
If you turn to Ephesians chapter 2,
我们翻到以弗所书的二章。Which verse, Eric?
We'll read verses 14 and, 14 to 17. We better read the whole portion, 14 to 18.
我们读14节到18节，以弗所书二章14到18节。
For he himself is our peace, who has made both one, that is Jew and Gentile, and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him, we both have access by one spirit to the Father.
因他使我们和睦，将两下合而为一，拆毁了中间隔断的墙，并且以自己的身体废掉冤仇，就是那记在律法上的规条，为要将两下借着自己造成一个新人，如此便成就了和睦，既在十字架上灭了冤仇，便借着十字架使两下归为一体，与神和好了，并且来传和平的福音给你们远处的人，也给那近处的人，因为我们两下借着他被一个圣灵所感，得以进到父面前。
By forming the church out of both Jew and Gentile, God was removing the enmity between the Jew and the Gentile.
通过由犹太人和外邦人共同组成教会啊，这样的一个过程呢，神就把外邦人和犹太人之间的那些仇怨呢，那个仇恨呢，都给去除了，拆毁了。
The Jews, for ever since they were formed as a nation, have suffered persecution and enmity by the Gentiles right to this present day.
以色列作为一个民族这个整体啊，他们是在历史历代直到今天啊，都饱尝了这外邦的各国各民给他们的逼迫和伤害。
They were given a special place in God's plans.
他们呢，神把他们在自己的计划里面呢，是给他们赋予了一个特别的位置。
And in as doing so, they were a special people in a world that was governed by the god of this age, Satan.
所以呢，我们今天的这个世界呢，是被今世的王啊，就是撒旦所掌控的。在这个世界里面呢，以色列民族是个非常独特的存在。
And it was only within Israel that the truth was known.
因为只有在以色列这个民族里面呢，他们才是知道真理的。
And so the Gentiles naturally were jealous, envious, and hated the Jewish people.
嗯，所以外邦人因此呢，他们就自然的就会嫉妒既羡慕又嫉妒又仇恨以色列民族。
And so God had to break down this wall that was between the Jew and the Gentile.
嗯，所以神呢要把这个犹太人和外邦人之间的这个隔断的墙啊给拆毁了。
And so the Jew is the difference between the Jew and the Gentile.Has been wiped away. It's been abolished in the church.
所以在教会当中呢，这犹太人和外邦人的区别啊，就全部的都没有了，都不存在了。
And so of these two different peoples, God has made one new man.
所以这个本来两群不同的人呢，现在神把他们造成一个新的人了，合起来造成一个新的人。
It's the idea of a new creation.
这就像是一个新的被造物一样，新的创造物一样。
And so that now, we both, Jew and Gentile, have access to God the Father.
所以现在无论是犹太人还是外邦人，我们都一起可以进到神的面前了。
The Jew had access to God the Father through the priesthood and the offerings and so on, but now that's been abolished.
那以前在旧约的时候呢，犹太人呢是借着献祭，借着祭司制度这些到神的面前的。现在这些全部都被废除了。
And they can come, they come now to God the Father through one man, our great high priest, our Lord Jesus Christ.
现在他们可以借着一个人，就是我们在天上的大祭司，我们的耶稣基督，可以直接进到神的面前了。
Another description.Of the church is a habitation of God, God's dwelling place.
那第七个描述教会的这个名字呢，就是神的居所。
Again, in Ephesians chapter 2.
还是以弗所书的二章啊，同样这一章。
And he goes on from what we've been reading about the new man.And we read in verse 19 to verses 22.
我们读十九节到二十二节，接下去读。
And he's writing to, of course, the Ephesians who are, they're Gentiles.
他这封信呢是写给以弗所人的，以弗所人都是外邦人。
So he says, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens,With the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit.
这样你们不再做外人和客旅，是与圣徒同国，是神家里的人了，并且被建造在使徒和先知的根基上，有基督耶稣自己为房角石，各房靠他联络得合适，渐渐成为主的圣殿，你们也靠他同被建造，成为神借着圣灵居住的所在。
So this description, it brings the truth that God is now dwells in the church rather than in a material temple, like in the Old Testament or tabernacle.
所以这个比喻呢，是告诉我们一个真理，就是神呢，是现在是住在教会当中的，而不是住在一个有形的圣殿呢，或者帐幕里面的。
If we turn to Acts chapter 17,
我们可以翻到《使徒行传》的十七章
，and verse 24，
二十四节。
Paul is preaching to the Greeks in Athens。
这里面的保罗是在给雅典的这些希腊人在讲道。
And they had their temples of worship。
他们有他们自己敬拜神的这种殿啊。
And so he.Says here in verse 24, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands.
创造宇宙和其中万物的神，既是天地的主，就不住人手所造的殿。
So what he, where he is now, he has indwelling the church, which is his dwelling place on earth today.
所以今天在地上呢，神是内住在教会里面的，教会是他现在居住的所在。
And if you turn to Matthew chapter 20,
我们翻到马太福音20章。
Sorry, Matthew 18.
18章20节。
He says, for whether two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them.
马太福音18章20节，因为无论在哪里有两三个人奉我的名聚会，那里就有我在他们中间。
Two or three, that's the smallest number of witness.
所以两到三个人，这是做见证人的最少的人数了。
So if two or three people meet together under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, there am I in the midst of them.
所以只要有两三个人奉主耶稣基督的名在聚会，主耶稣说，那我就在他们中间了。
No matter how small your little house church might be.
所以不管你这个家庭教会有多么小，都没有关系。
If you're gathered there together as a local church under the authority of Christ, he has promised that we will come and be in your midst.
所以只要你是在主耶稣基督这个权柄下聚会的一个地方教会呢，主耶稣基督就应许说他一定会来并在你们中间。
How wonderful it is that God would come down and dwell with mankind.
所以想想这是多么美好的一件事啊，神会从天上下来，然后在人的中间居住。
Now, of course, he indwells each believer.
当然他也是内住在每一个信徒里面的。
But in a special way, he's, if we come in a corporate sense, he has promised a special visitation to be in our midst.
但是同样也是真理，就是当我们聚集在一起，一个集体的形式聚集在一起的时候呢，神说他也会来在我们中间。
How humbling that is for us believers, our simple believers.
所以这真的是要让我们这些信徒啊，是值得我们谦卑的。
Now another picture, and this is another familiar one, we often talk about this, that a descriptive title of the church is the Bride of Christ.
另外一个对教会的描述啊，这是我们另外一个很熟悉的，就是是基督的新娘。
Turn to Ephesians chapter 5 again.
再翻到以弗所书的五章。
And verses, we'll read from verses 25 to 27. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish.
你们做丈夫的要爱你们的妻子，正如基督爱教会，为教会舍己，要用水借着道把教会洗净，成为圣洁，可以献给自己，做个荣耀的教会，毫无玷污、皱纹等类的病，乃是圣洁，没有瑕疵的。
Again, turn to 2 Corinthians in chapter 11.
再翻到哥林多后书的十一章
and verse 2
第二节
Paul is writing to this Corinthian church, of which he had such a great heart and loved them so much.
保罗在这里呢是写给哥林多教会的圣徒的，他对他们啊是有这个深厚的爱心的。
He says, "For I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ."
我为你们起的愤恨，原是神那样的愤恨，因为我曾把你们许配一个丈夫，要把你们如同贞洁的童女献给基督。
Then in the book of Revelation also we read of the bride there, which we won't turn to. We had looked at that recently.
我们在启示录里面也看到在那里也讲到教会要作为神的基督的新娘，我们就不翻到那里，因为我们在前一个系列里面呢就多次讲到这一点了。
But looking at the, this view of the church,and likening it to a bride, it gives to us the idea of affection and love.
所以把教会比喻成基督的新娘这样一个图景，这个一个描述呢，是在强调爱的关系。
Because we read there in Ephesians chapter 5 that husbands were to love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it.
就像我们刚才在以弗所书五章二十五节里面读到的，你们做丈夫的要爱自己的妻子，正如基督爱教会，为教会舍己。
So it's the bride, the idea of a bride is one of affection and love.
所以新娘呢是一个爱喜爱疼爱这样的一个概念。
That is, it's God's son, his feelings towards you and I.
这个描述的就是神的圣子啊对你和我的感觉感受。
And another thought that goes along with that is that it's a continuing love.
而且这个爱呢是一种持续的爱。
The idea of husbands to love their wives is to continue to love their wives.
所以这里面说的你们做丈夫要爱妻子是说你要持续的爱你的妻子。
In other words, there's a continuing interest in that person.
或者说呢你持续的对这个人有兴趣感兴趣。
When a husband takes a wife, he is to care for her lifetime.
如果一个丈夫娶了一个妻子呢，他是要一生都照顾他爱他的。
There's another thought. If Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, then obviously we should love him in return.
如果基督都爱教会为教会舍己的话呢，那我们作为回应呢，我们也应该爱他。
And we should return that love because we love him, the scripture says, because he first loved us.
圣经说我们爱耶稣是因为他先爱了我们，所以我们是要用爱来回应他的。
There's another thought too that's related to this as the bride of Christ. That's found in Genesis chapter 2, way back at the beginning.
另外跟这个基督的新娘有关的一个点呢，就是要回溯回创世纪的二章了。
Go right back to the very beginning of things, and we see there God's original plan.
所以在这个创造世界之初啊，神在那里是有个计划的。
He hadn't created Adam, and Adam was completely self-sufficient.
所以神造了亚当，亚当呢是自我满足的，就是他不缺什么，他是自给自足的。
He was the perfect man.
他是一个完美的人。
He had the perfect environment.
他所居住的环境也是完美的环境。
He had a perfect future.
然后他有完美的未来。
But God saw there was something lacking.
但是神呢却看出这里好像少了什么。
He said in verse 18, it's not good. That's the first not good of the Bible.
第十八节，耶和华神说，那人独居不好，这是圣经里面第一次提到不好这个词。
It's not good that the man be alone.
他说那人独居不好。
I will make a helper suitable for him, comparable to him.
我要为他造一个配偶帮助他。
I'll make a bride for him that compares to him in every part of his being.
所以我要给赐给他一个新娘，这个新娘在各个方面，每一个方面都配得上他，合适他。
And that would make Adam whole.
这会使亚当成为一个完整的人。
And so the idea there is companionship.
所以这里面呢是有一个陪伴的概念。
A man needs a companion.
所以男人呢是需要一个同伴的，一个陪伴的。
And so God created the perfect companion for Adam, and he's done the same for his son, the Lord Jesus Christ.
所以神为亚当呢造了一个完美的伴侣啊，所以他也同样为他的圣子耶稣基督也造了一个同样完美的伴侣。
And so that speaks of fellowship. Our relationship with Christ should be one of a husband to his bride.
所以这就意味着我们和基督之间的关系啊，就应该是丈夫和妻子这样那样的关系，是爱的关系。
We respond to his love and care.And return that love and affection.
所以我们对他的爱和关心啊是要有回应的，而且我们用我们的爱来回报他。
We'll look at another picture of the church, and it's called the house of God. 1 Timothy 3:15.
另外一个这教会的描述呢是神的家。我们翻到提摩太前书。
1 Timothy 3:15.
三章十五节。
Reading from verse 14.
我们从十四节读。
These things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly. But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God,The pillar and ground of the truth.
我指望快到你那里去，所以先将这些事写给你。倘若我单言日久，你也可以知道在神的家中当怎样行。这家就是永生神的教会，真理的柱石和根基。
A house or household really is the word here.
这里面用的就是这个家这个词。
It speaks of order and discipline in the household.
这里面提到呢，家呢就是有规矩的，还要有这个管教的。
Now every house has to have order and discipline.
所以每一个家呢都要有自己的家规，也要有管教。
The children can't run the household or some neighbor tell you what to do.
所以这一个家呢不能是孩子说了算的，也不是你的邻居来说了算的。
Every house should have its rules and regulations.
所以每个家呢都有自己的规矩或者是规则。
And so that's why in chapters 2 and 3 of 1 Timothy, Paul was writing down instructions for the proper order in the house of God.
这就是为什么在提摩太前书的二章和三章啊，保罗写下了好多关于在神的家里的这个次序的问题。
He gives first of all instructions for prayer.
他先指出在就是祷告中的次序。
And then he talks about the way men and women ought to behave in the house of God.
然后他又讲到在神的家中男人女人各自应该怎么样的行为。
And then he gives the qualifications of the leaders of the house of God.
然后他又给出在神的家中做领袖的人他们的这些资格条件。
And that's why he says, so that you might know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God.
所以他在15节才说，你也可以知道在神的家中当怎样行。
Also, in the local church, it is the house of God.
所以同样地方教会呢，的确就是神的家。
And we ought to behave according to the scriptures.
都应该按圣经的教导呢行事。
We don't just come in and do what we want to do and act the way we wish.
而不是我们进了教会呢，就自己想做什么做什么，自己想怎么干就怎么干。
And we'll be getting to it later on. There's got to be discipline in the house of God.
然后我们以后还会提到，在神的家里还需要有管教。
We know the house of God is a holy place.
因为我们知道神的家是一个圣洁的地方。
Now the last.Picture that we're going to look at tonight is that it's in the last part of that, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse, or chapter 1, chapter 3 verse 15.、It's the pillar and the ground of the truth.、
那最后一个描述教会的这个比喻呢，就是还是刚才这个哥林多前书的三章十五节啊，同样这一节的后半部分，他说这是真理的柱石和根基，就是说教会是真理的柱石和根基。
Now a pillar is a feature of a building that holds something up.
所以柱石呢就是在一个建筑里面啊，是支撑这个整个建筑的那个部分。
It not only holds the roof for protection, but a pillar is used, in olden times to display a sign, it gave information. They put signs on the pillars.
就是在古时候在建筑房子的时候呢，这个柱石不单是支撑这个屋顶啊，屋顶是保护整个房子的，遮盖整个房子的，而且呢，这个柱子上呢，常常就是写下很多告示、很多指示的这个地方。
They would post on pillars. They would post public notices for the people in the city.
所以在这个柱石上呢，会给这个全城的人啊贴出一些公开的这个告示，让全城人都能够知悉的这样的一些通知、一些宣告、一些告示。对。
In other words, the church, is a place that is a place of testimony to the truth.
所以同样意义啊，这个教会呢也是为真理做见证的地方。
Where can anyone in the world find the truth today except in the church?
在今天的世界里，人除了教会，还有什么别的地方能够得着真理呢？
Now the ground, it's also the ground of the truth. Not only is it the testimony to the truth, but it's the very means by which the truth is supported.
所以这里面不仅提到教会是真理的柱石啊，柱石就是见证的意思，另外它还是真理的根基，就真理是靠着教会来支撑的。
The truth is grounded, you might say, by the living out, practical living.
所以真理呢是靠我们教会这个每天的这个行事为人这个实践当中活出来，把它展现出来的。
Where do you see the truth proclaimed on the pillar, the church?Where do you see the truth lived out? It's the ground of the church.
所以你在哪里看到真理的见证呢？就是在柱石里面。你看哪里真理能够活出来呢？就说明这是真理的根基，这都是在教会里面的。
So here we've looked at 10 different descriptive titles of the church.
所以我们刚才已经看了十个用来描述教会的这些不同的名称。
The flock,We think of the good shepherd.
所以我们讲到羊群的时候呢，就想到好牧人。
The church is a field. We bring forth fruit to God's glory.
我们想到教会是田地呢，我们就想到我们要为神的荣耀结出果子来。
And we are God's building. We're adding people to the church.
我们是神所建造的房屋啊，我们就要把人一个一个的加到教会里面来。
The church is the temple of God. That's where God gets worship today.
我们又讲到教会是神的殿了，那是神在这里才能得着敬拜的地方。
We've looked at it as described as the body of Christ, in which Christ expresses himself in the world today.
我们说教会是基督的身体啊，我们就想到今天的神基督呢是借着我们，就借着教会他的这个身体来表达他自己的，向着世界表达他自己。
We see it, that the church is the new man, that is made up of Jew and Gentile.
我们说教会是一个新人呢，指的就是教会是由同时由犹太人和外邦人共同组成的。
And also is a dwelling place of God, where God now dwells among his people.
我们说我们是教会是神的居住的所在啊，是指神今天的住在他的属他的人当中。
And then the bride of Christ, we see that beautiful picture there of affection and relationship and companionship.
所以我们提到教会是基督的新娘的时候呢，我们就想到这爱的关系，爱关系和这陪伴这些感觉。
Then the house of God, where there is order and discipline.
我们讲到教会是神的家的时候呢，我们强调的是在教会中要有次序，要有规矩，还要有管教。
And lastly, the pillar and ground of the truth, the place where the truth is told out in testimony and lived out in practice.
然后我们讲到教会是真理的柱石和根基的时候呢，是在强调教会呢是在传讲或者说为真理做见证，另一方面呢也是在他的实践当中把真理活出来。
Now, many people concentrate on preaching the gospel, but the Apostle Paul had a twofold ministry.
我们今天呢，有些人呢特别的强调要传福音啊，但是保罗的这个事工呢，他的服事呢是有两个层面的。
One of his ministries was to preach the gospel.
他的一个服事呢就是要传福音。
But then the other was to teach the great mystery of the church.
另外他的一个服事的方面呢，就是要教导教会的奥秘。
Ephesians chapter 3 and verses 8 and 9.
以弗所书的三章八节和九节。
To me, he says in verse 8, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ.That is the gospel among the Gentiles.
第八节，我本来在众圣徒中我本来比众圣徒中最小的还小，然而他还赐我这恩典，叫我把基督那测不透的丰富传给外邦人，那这就是传福音。
And then he says in verse 9, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages was hidden in God who created all things.Through Jesus Christ.
然后他在第九节里面又说，又使众人都明白，这历代以来隐藏在创造万物之神里的奥秘是如何安排的。
That is, he wanted to ground them in the great truths of the church.
这句话的意思呢，他希望以弗所的教会的圣徒呢，能够把根基啊打在这教会的这个真理上面。
It's wonderful to get people saved. That's one of the great purposes of our testimony today.
使人得救当然是非常好的一件事，这是我们今天教会做见证的目的之一，主要目的之一。
But the second thing is we must also build up the church on the earth because that's where the truth is lived out and no other.
另外一个重要的事情呢，就是我们要在这地上建立教会，因为这个是真理的根基啊，是真理只能是保存在教会里的。
the local church is very important, and how we meet together, how we fellowship together, and how we operate as a local assembly is very important to God.
所以地方教会呢，对神来说是特别重要的。我们该如何聚集在一起，如何运作，如何有团契的关系，这些在神看来都是非常非常重要的。
So may the Lord bless and encourage each one of us as we seek to build up that great thing that God has created in Christ Jesus, the church, which he loved and gave himself for.
所以当我们众人去建造这个神呢，在历史历代所隐藏的奥秘啊，就是主耶稣基督舍命所换来的这个教会的时候，我们在建造教会的时候啊，愿主来祝福我们，也带领我们。
Thank you. Dear Brother Harold.
Amen. Well, thank you, Eric, for that great foundation that we've laid. I ask myself the question, how important is the church?
And 谢谢 Eric. 谢谢 Eric 今天给我们打下了这么好的根基啊。我今天也问自己一个问题，就是教会到底有多重要呢？
Derek has alluded to it in his concluding comments. It's very, very important. It's important to God, and it's certainly important to us.
刚才 Eric 在最后总结的时候也说过，这是教会是非常非常重要的。它对神来说非常重要，对我们来说也非常重要。
Our theme is Christ loved the church and gave himself for it.
所以我们的这整个系列的主题呢，就是基督爱教会，为教会舍己。
Now you can't get anything more important than that.
其实我们没有能再也想不出比这个更重要的事情了。
The church is the bride of Christ.
因为教会。
And as such, you can't get anything more important than that.
我们也把教会比喻成基督的新娘，你也找不出比新娘更重要的东西了。
And a verse that we'll be referring to later, but we didn't mention tonight, says that the Lord Jesus said, I will build my church.
圣经里面也有经文说，主耶稣自己说，他说我要建立我的教会。
And as such, that is the greatest construction project in the history of the universe.
这是整个全宇宙历史上最重要的最伟大的一个建筑工程。
And so each of the 10 descriptions that we've had of the church tonight attests to the extreme importance, the supreme importance of the church to God and therefore to us.
所以我们前面讲的这十个描述教会的这个名称啊，都告诉我们教会对于神对于我们来说都是极其重要的。
So we've embarked upon a very exciting study because we want to learn what's important to God.
所以我们学习这个系列呢是让我们很兴奋的，因为我们想学习一些在神看来如此重要的这个东西是什么样子的。
And by the grace of God, we want to live out that importance in our own lives.
所以借着神的恩典呢，我们也希望在我们的生活中呢，能把这个教会的重要性给活出来。
All right, well, thank you again. We'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll be able to dismiss.
好，我们再次感谢大家，我们现在一起祷告，然后就结束今天的课。
Lord, we're overwhelmed to think that Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, and that we can be members of that glorious institution.
主啊，我们一想到基督爱教会并为教会舍己，使我们这些人都能够成为这个荣耀的机体的一部分啊，我们真一想到这里就是极其的感动。
And so we would say, as Paul did, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, we thank you for that.
就像保罗说的，神的圣子竟然爱我，为我舍了他自己，我们为此感谢你。
But we thank you that you didn't just leave us alone after that. You formulated the church and invited us into it and made us a vital part of it.
我们更感谢您的是您没有救了我们以后就不管我们了而是你建造了教会把我们安放在这教会当中并成为其中很重要的组成部分。
Lord, help us to believe and help us to live up to this extremely high calling, we pray.
主啊求你帮助我们相信也帮助我们能够活出这极其崇高的呼召。
And again, we give thanks in Jesus' name.
我们再次的奉基督的名感恩。
Amen.
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 Thank you all this evening.